Turn your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, we'll be reading verses 26 through verse 29. I'll read those even verses if you'll join with me on verses 27 and 29 this morning. Once you've found Exodus 32, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Again, Exodus 32, beginning in verse number 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses said, "Consecrate yourself today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." And let's pray this morning. Our God in heaven, Lord, we do pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would be upon us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning stay, Lord, at just our vision as we heard in Sunday school this morning. I pray that our vision for this new year, Lord, would be towards heaven, would be towards you. I pray we need you this morning. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit power be upon the speaker and listener. In your name we pray. Amen.
The disciples stood on top of the mountain, watching as Jesus rose to heaven. Then two angels came and gave them his promise that one day they would see him again. This same Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus who is the great I am. He is coming in power, glory, and victory. This same Jesus is coming for me. Every day we live, his coming gets closer. And still we know his promise is true, that one day we'll see Jesus in the sky to take us up to heaven on high. This same Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus is the great I am. He is coming in power, glory, and victory. This same Jesus is coming for me. So lift up your eyes toward the eastern skies, and someday we'll see again. This same Jesus who is the great I am is coming in power, glory, and victory. This same Jesus is coming for me. This same Jesus is coming. Song.
This morning, my head is completely stuffed. I can't hear out of my left ear. Are you folks hearing okay this morning out there? That's what matters. I'm okay. If you're okay, I'm okay. Is everybody okay out there? Y'all can hear all right? Because I have no clue what's happening right now. You say, what's different about that than any other Sunday? Amen. But anyway, not much, to be honest with you. So I won't ask how many of you stayed up last night to welcome in the new year. I'll probably be able to tell by those whose heads are bobbing. about 10 minutes into the message. Now, I'm also a little stuffy, but that's how I live, okay? Are y'all okay temperature-wise? Is it too warm? Is it too warm? Are the fans circulating any air? That's probably what we need to happen, just circulate some air. I don't think is it cold outside still, or is it warmed up? Warming up. Anybody cold besides Doyce? All right. Anybody too hot? Stuffy. All right, we'll let it go then, I guess. All right. That means you're comfortable? That's not good. Okay. What's the solution, Brother Griffin? Stir the air? One? On Doyce's side? He's already frozen, man. I tell you, that's father-in-law love for you. Amen. So that's good. All right. So you folks over here, you're going to have to fight to stay awake. You folks over here are going to have to fight to stay alive, I guess. So, amen. All right. Very good. And those of us in the middle, we'll be all right. All right. He said, Moses said, verse number 29, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Here it is right here. Consecration. I thank Ryan and Brother Mick for the work they did. Ryan does such a great job on graphics, putting things together, and for the banner, some of the printed stuff we'll give you throughout the year and at the end of this, the service this morning. I'm going to preach on that theme today, consecration, restoration. Consecration, restoration. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, again, we bow before you with a grateful heart. There's been great music today. Lord, thank you for grace. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for all the songs, Lord. I think about the song the choir sang about the name of Jesus Christ. It's been tremendous songs to start a new year in a church service. And so we rejoice in it and the good song we just heard about the Lord's return. Please help us today. May we have your touch, your power, your blessing. Lord, I can't hear, so it's strange to me. But I pray that you'll help me overcome that and that your Spirit will control our thoughts, our words. And may we all enter into this message now. May the Word of God have its effect on our hearts. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And amen. 2016 is in the rear view mirror. It's in the history books. We're about, 11 hours and 28 minutes, according to that clock, into a new year, the year 2017. A year that has 8,760 hours in it. 24 less than last year, because last year was leap year. It was the extra day. How many of these hours will be spent or invested or dedicated or consecrated to the Lord? That's a good question for us. How many of the hours of 2016, those 8,784, because there was the extra day, how many of those hours were invested or spent or dedicated or consecrated to the Lord? That's a fair evaluation, folks. 2016 is behind us. It doesn't hurt us to take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to do a work of examination in our hearts and lives. I can't do it myself because my Bible tells me that my heart is deceitful. So I have to ask the Holy Spirit to do it. It's not wrong to do that this time of the year. It's the good time to do it. For some, the hours of 2016 took a toll on us spiritually. The condition of your relationship with God is weaker at the end of 2016 than it was at the beginning. And by the way, folks, I think that happens to everybody in the course of living for the Lord. There's nobody here who lives their life like this. Nobody. We're not robots. We're not mechanical. You know, I told my Sunday school class, I really think it has just been on my mind, on my heart now for about the last 10 to 12 days. And when I look and ask the Spirit of God, I don't know that 2016 was the greatest year for me personally, spiritually. I'm not involved in anything wicked, ungodly, but I don't know that 2016 was everything that it should have been for me personally, spiritually, and there might be others in that same condition. For some people here, the hours of 2016 led to a stronger relationship with God. There may be some here in the room whose condition is critical. You're close to spiritual lukewarmness. You're close to being what Paul called a castaway. A castaway. Think about that. And folks, by the way, can I just say something? If the Apostle Paul feared becoming a castaway, then I think everybody in this room should have that same fear. If the Paul had that fear. Others, 2016 found you on the a new level of usefulness, a new level of blessing. I was pondering in my mind some of the activities here at the church, and that's not the only telltale sign, but I was thinking of some younger adults who really, I think 2016 was a year of advancement, was a year of progress, was a year of growing closer to the Lord, seeing God use them in a great way, and they may be on the verge of even something better in 2017. You know, there are people from one side of the auditorium to the other, front to back, upstairs, there are people all degrees of spirituality here this morning. 2016 had an effect on everybody here, one way or the other. Nobody was neutral. Okay? So it had an effect on us one way or the other. And it's not wrong for us to ask the Lord to help us and look at our lives. One thing is for sure, what was done in 2016 is behind us. 2017 sits brand new. It's, as I mentioned, 11 hours and 31 minutes old. And so it's not a very old year. There is opportunity to set this year apart as a year of consecration to the Lord. And by the way, folks, that's where consecration belongs. It's not to a church. Not to a pastor. Not to a set of thou shalt nots and thou shalts. Consecration belongs to the Lord. Consecration to the Lord. Verse number 29. Moses told these men, consecrate yourselves today. Now, many of you know the setting of this story, but quickly I'll just refer to it briefly. The children of Israel, of course, had been delivered from the land of Egypt. They had traveled to Mount Sinai. Moses had gone to the top of the mountain. He had been up there for 40 days. The first 6 days he sat in complete silence. On the seventh day, God began to speak to Moses, and for 33 days, God spoke with him, and at the end of the time together there on the top of the mountain, God gave Moses those two tablets of stone that were written with the very finger of God, the words of God that we think probably at least the Ten Commandments and maybe somewhat more than that. Meanwhile, the people at the foot of the mountain had become impatient, waiting on Moses to return. You know, you come on, think, don't get hard on them. 40 days is over a month. How well would you and I do waiting around for 40 days? It's a long wait. So they've been waiting around for 40 days, and at the end of that time period, they convinced Aaron to make a false god. They made a golden calf, a replica of the idols that were worshipped in the land of Egypt, and they began to, quote-unquote, worship this idol. And you know all that took place, and God saw their sin, and He told Moses, He said, you better get down to the camp and take care of business, or I'm just going to wipe them all out. About halfway down the mountain, Joshua said, Moses, he said, that's, what is that noise? He said, that's not the noise of somebody winning a battle, and that's not the noise of somebody being overcome in a battle. I don't know what that is. Crazy, wild, like music, and it was. It was the music of Egypt. It was the music of the world, and Moses was incredulous, and he was angry and shocked at what had taken place. You remember, he took the two tablets of stone and he hurled them to the ground. They broke in pieces, the tablets of stone that God had given to Moses. And when he gets down to the camp in verse 26, he draws that line in the sand, so to speak. It says, who is on the Lord's side? And the Bible says that the children of Levi, the sons of Levi, gathered themselves to Moses. He told him in verse number 27, you grab your sword and put it on, verse 26 and 27, put your sword on your side and you go through the camp and you're going to have to kill all those rebels. Slay them all. In verse number 28, the Bible tells us that 3,000 people died. And verse number 29 tells us, for Moses had said, this is what Moses had said when he said who was on the Lord's side, and the sons of Levi gathered themselves to Moses. This is what Moses told them to do. Verse 29, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Consecrate. Now that's an interesting word, the word consecrate. It's a Hebrew word in this part of the Bible. Greek in the New Testament, Hebrew in the Old. Consecrate. It means to fill the hand. To fill the hand. For something to be consecrated to God means that it is put in God's hand. It fills up the hand of God. It is in God's hand. It is at God's disposal. Fill the hand. Consecrate yourself. So in this case, Moses said to consecrate yourself. So they were to put themselves in God's hand. They were to put themselves at God's disposal. So get the picture. Moses asked, who's on the Lord's side? This crowd gathers around him and says, we are. He says, consecrate yourselves today. Put yourself in the Lord's hand. Grab your sword and go through the camp and execute judgment on the rebels. And some of them may be your sons, and some of them may be your brothers. 3,000 people were killed. Now, wait a minute. I'm glad we don't live in the Old Testament day. I'm glad in this New Testament day, when God asks us to consecrate ourselves, does not mean that we're going to have to strap a sword to our side and go through and execute people. Even your own family members. Your own friends. That was a hard thing to do, folks. Are you listening this morning? That was a very difficult thing to do. That's what he said. He said, execute even every man upon his son and upon his brother. He said, you can't have any partiality. If you're a relative or your friend, you're going to have to deal with them. Now, God's not going to ask us to do anything like that. But hear me this morning. If we consecrate ourselves, if we fill His hand, if we're going to be at His disposal, if we will be His instrument, if He will have the preeminence above everything else, including family and friends, we'll have to make some hard decisions. Have to make some hard decisions. Won't be easy. Won't be an easy street. Won't be an easy avenue. If you consecrate yourself to the Lord, put yourself in His hand, fill His hand, put yourself at His disposal, you're going to have to make some difficult decisions. So look again at what Moses said. He said, consecrate, fill the hand of God, put yourself in God's hand, put yourself at God's disposal. And He said, yourself. Hey, He didn't tell them to consecrate their possessions or their relationships. He said, consecrate yourself. You know what, folks? If they are in God's hand, that means their possessions and their relationships are in God's hand. Everything about them is in God's hand. So put yourself. If God has you, He'll have your possessions. If God has you, He'll have your relationships. If God has you, He'll have your talents. If God has you, He'll have your abilities. If God has us, if He has me, if He has you, He will have all of us at His disposal. And He said, do it today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. Do it today. And that would be every day. And I'm going to say it, folks, there's not a thing wrong with today, January 1st, 2017, being a day when you and I consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to do it sometime this month or later on this year. I got some things I need to take care of. No. Consecrate yourself today. Today. Consecrate yourself today. So listen carefully. God said do it today. Consecrate yourself today. People, God does not take hostages. God takes no hostages to heaven. If you're on your way to heaven this morning, it's because you responded to God's invitation to be saved. Nobody pushed you down an aisle. Nobody drug you to Christ. God didn't take you hostage. God's not going to take you to heaven against your will. Now, the hyper-Calvinist says that'll happen. The hyper-Calvinist says that God's grace is irresistible. And if God shows you to be saved, you're going to be saved even if you don't want to be. That doesn't make a lick of sense to me, especially when Stephen told the Jews in Acts chapter 7, verse number 51, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, either the Holy Ghost can be resisted or He can't be. And Stephen told that crowd, you resist Him. Now, God's not going to take any hostages to heaven. If you're saved this morning, you're saved because you chose to be. You came to Christ at His invitation, and in repentance and faith, and trusted Him to be the propitiation for your sins. And I will say this morning as well. God does not make slaves out of saved people. If you're going to serve Him, it's because you want to. It's because you choose to. You're going to put yourself in His hand. consecrate yourself, feel His hand, devote, dedicate yourself, put yourself in there, your relationships, your abilities, your possessions, your talents, all of you. But if you're going to serve God, it's going to be because you choose to, and the invitation is, consecrate yourselves today. That's the invitation. This story in the Bible is not just written here to take up space on a page. It's written for us to learn from. It's written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world has come, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is as much for me and you as it was for these folks back in Exodus, the day and age of Exodus 32. It's just exercised in a different manner. I don't have to strap a sword on my side and go through and kill anybody. But I do need to consecrate myself to Him. Now let me say a couple things this morning about this. Number one, we can feel the hand of God. You can feel the hand of God. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Folks, God does not give us a command that He does not enable us to obey. Now, in case you're hung up on this being the Old Testament, the New Testament equivalent here is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's consecrate. That's fill the hand of God. Fill the hand of God, both mind, body, soul, spirit. Fill the hand of God. God does not give us impossible command. God commands. God gives commands that you and I can obey. Commands that we can fulfill. That means each one of us can consecrate ourselves. And if we fill the hand of God, that means we will have to be holy and acceptable, which means pleasing to Him. That's going to be the theme of this new year, as we go through the days that make up the year 2017. Consecration. And not just consecration. Consecration restoration. That's on purpose. What's restoration mean? It means renewal. It means revival. It means reestablishment. It means, listen, recovery. Here's one for you. It means the act of replacing in a former state. Some who used to fill the hand of God to be at His disposal no longer fill it. No longer fill it. That's what restoration is talking about. Somebody was asking me earlier this week, what kind of year do you think 2016 was for Faith Baptist Church? You know, I pondered that quite a bit the last 2.5, 3 weeks. And you know, it wasn't a bad year. I can't complain. God's good. We didn't have a major split. We didn't have a bunch of angry, upset, ugly split, and people leaving, throwing hymn books at each other. And we had some new people come in. We had some people go. The bills are paid. The offerings weren't the best, but the bills are paid. I can't complain, but I'm not sure it was a year of advancement. I'm not sure it was a year of moving forward. I'm not sure that December 31st, 2016 found everybody filling the hand of God that used to. Consecration, restoration, replacing, restoration, renewal, restoration, revival, restoration, recovery, the act of replacing something in its former state, a restoration of consecration. Folks, if slippage sets in, it has to be stopped or it will continue. That's the nature of slipping. And you don't stop until you hit bottom. So something has to occur that stops the slippage. Something has to happen to put the slippage to an end. It's reestablishing in my mind and heart as I ponder this. It's reestablishing that place of filling the hand of God. It's consecration, restoration. Now let me ask you a fair question this morning. What kind of year have you thought about it? Have you thought about 2006? Is it just a turn the page to a new calendar for you? And technically, that's all it is. But how was 2016? Where do you find yourself this morning? And you know, you'd be wise not to answer that yourself. Be wise to let the Holy Spirit show you where you are and face it, and don't excuse it, and don't deny it, and don't hem-haw, and don't deceive yourself. And at the same time, don't sit around and feel ashamed and feel guilty and say, well, I'm not where I used to be. Start feeling the hand of God now. Consecrate yourself today. I'm convinced if a church doesn't do something like this, folks, it's just going to slip into oblivion. It slips into compromise. It slips into worldliness. It slips into liberalism. It slips into apathy. Where we're lukewarm. Like Laodicea, who is neither cold nor hot. There wasn't a whole lot to complain about. They weren't ice cold. But there was no fire. There was no desire. There was no burning desire. There was a lack of consecration. Consecration. Restoration. Don't sit around and feel guilty and let the devil sell you a bill of goods by telling you you can never replace what used to be. You can never go back to a former state. Oh, yes, you can. Peter had some slippage. Peter had some bad slippage. He swore, he cursed, that he even knew Christ. He hung out with the crowd that was killing Christ. Warmed his hand by their fire. And after the resurrection, he felt so ashamed and so useless, realizing what had happened. I go a fishing. That's not what Christ called you to do, Peter. Christ came by you and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Your days of financing your living by commercial fishing are over. It's not what Christ called you to do, Peter. But that's what he said. I go a fishing. He was out of the hand of God. He was unconsecrated. And after spending a night on the sea fishing, a commercial season fisherman caught nothing. But in the morning, one of the greatest texts in all the Bible. But in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore because Christ wasn't done with him. And Christ hadn't just relegated him to a place of non-ness and non-issue and a cast we had set aside. Christ stood on the shore. And you know the story. I'm not preaching to a crowd of novices this morning. Children, have you any meat? No, we've not caught any. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. And 153 great fishes swam in that net. And John said, Pete, that's the Lord. Peter girded himself with his cloak and swam in. There he found bread and fish upon. And by the way, that was the beginning of his restoration. In just a few days, he was one of those 120 preaching on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 folks get saved. Just a few chapters later, his shadow passing over people heals them. You think you're washed up? You think you're done? You think it's over? Because 2016 was a year of slippage and you don't find yourself today where you once were. That place of consecration. I'll tell you something, friend. We got a Christ that's going to have a hard... You're going to have a hard time convincing Christ that you're done because He doesn't give up on people. Consecration, restoration. Putting yourself back in the hand of God. Filling the hand of God. Giving yourself your all to Him. Consecrating. Start it today. Consecrate yourselves today. Without the renewal, without the reestablishing, the slippage will continue, no doubt, but you can stop it. And you can stop it today. We're going to emphasize this idea of consecration all throughout the year. We're going to do it through six elements that I believe are foundational to walking with God, to living for the Lord. That if I feel His hand and if you feel His hand, these six elements are going to be a part of our life. Praying. It's going to be a part of our life. If I'm feeling the hand of God, I'm not going to live a life without prayer. Number two, reading. And I say reading, I'm talking about reading the Scripture. We're not going to feel the hand of God without a close relationship to the Bible. Preaching. You're not going to feel the hand of God by ignoring preaching. Some of you missed a ton of services in 2016. You know, it seems like a little bit here, a little bit there, but you start marking the ones you missed, and pretty soon you've got a whole line of little fives. You're not going to feel the hand of God by not paying attention to preaching and then witnessing. Not going to feel the hand of God without being concerned for the lost around us. And then serving. And I mean serving. I mean a different light than witnessing. I mean serving God's people. Serving for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then giving. These are things that we're not going to, if we feel the hand of God, we're not going to be without. And January is going to be the month where we emphasize prayer. We're going to emphasize six elements, one per month. And then we're going to start over again in July and re-emphasize those same six elements. The month of January is the month of praying. At the end of the service this morning, we have a Bible reading schedule. Several of you like a Bible reading schedule. We've got a Bible reading schedule for you with a little bit of a church calendar on the inside here. It will give you this at the close of the service. But at the end of the service this morning, here's the month of January, emphasizing the matter of prayer. There's a prayer list of about 10 things, 10 people, 10 ministries for Monday through Saturday, no Sundays, but Monday through Saturday. And we're praying for all of our missionaries by name and the Sunday school classes and the bus routes and the ministries of Faith Baptist Church. Plus, there is a characteristic, a Christ-like characteristic emphasized on that day. Here's courage. Here's grace. Here's kindness. Here's purity. Here's wisdom. Here's humility. Here's patience. And on that day, we're going to get one of these. And what you do with it, it's up to you. Throw it in the dashboard of your car and let the sun curl it up. Throw in your Bible, lose it. What you do with it, it's up to you. We're giving you this for the purpose, and I'm taking one for the purpose of hopefully consecrating ourselves in the month of January to this matter of prayer. Maybe it will lead to a greater prayer life for you, for me to enjoy. Folks, if the slippage doesn't stop, it continues. Face it. No sense in just, you know, ignoring it. Consecration, restoration. We're going to have a men's prayer breakfast in the month of January. On January the 28th, with the last Saturday of the month. We've never done that before. And I don't know why, but we've never done it in 26 and a half years since I've been here. A men and boys prayer breakfast where we get together for some food and fellowship. And then a time of prayer together as a group of men. We're going to continue to have the prayer meetings 15 minutes before the services on Sunday night like we have been for these past however long it's been. But we're consecrating ourselves to this matter. We can feel the hand of God. And some desperately need it. Desperately. Feel the hand of God. Consecrate yourself today. God would not give us a command that He would not allow, enable us to fulfill, so we can feel the hand of God. Number two, we can enjoy God's blessings. Look at the end of verse number 29 here. He says, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Now, you know what the equivalent to that is in Romans 12? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's the equivalent to the blessing, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because the greatest blessing that I can experience and the greatest blessing you can experience is being in the center of God's will. That's not just good preaching, that's truth. There is no greater blessing than being smack dab in the very center of God's will. And when we feel the hand of God, when we consecrate ourselves, we will be in the middle of His will. And people, that's where the blessings are. Blessings are not in your financial status. Blessings are not in the size house you live in. The blessings are not just in your job security. The blessings are in the center of God's will. That's where the blessings are. You know, people who love to shop, they like to go to the places where the best shopping is. They like to. Folks that love to ski, they want to go to Vail. They want to go to Aspen, Colorado. They want to go to places where the best skiing is. Ask guys who love deer hunting. Where do you want to hunt? I want to hunt in Pike County, Illinois. I want to go to Iowa. I want to go to Kansas. Why? Because that's where the best whitetail deer hunting is. Ask these duck hunters. Where do you want to hunt ducks? Stuttgart, Arkansas. Why? Because that's where the best duck hunting is. Ask people who want to serve their country in the military. Where do you want to? I want to go to West Point. I want to go to Annapolis. Why? That's where the best is. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Where is the best place for a Christian to enjoy this life? You know the answer. It's in the center of God's will. It's in the center of God's will. Filling the hand of God will put us in the very center of God's will, where we can enjoy the blessings. The blessings. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about children. I'm talking about young men and young women and adults of all ages. Filling the hand of God. Consecration. Restoration. Where all the blessings are. Right in the center of His will. I'm not talking about just preachers. Howard Kelly was a famous surgeon, gynecologist, who wrote in his diary, and I quote, "I dedicate myself, my time, my capabilities, my ambitions, everything to Him." Listen to what he said, quote, "Blessed Lord, sanctify me to Thy use. Give me no worldly success which may not lead me nearer to the Savior." That's a powerful statement. When I read that, I think of Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written and commanded therein. Then thou shalt find thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." So if there's good success, is there bad success? Well, God told him you can find good success. What's bad success? The kind of success that leads you away from the Savior? The kind of success that sometimes money brings? Position, prestige, esteem? That kind of success is not good if it leads us away from the Savior. That's why this famous surgeon, gynecologist, prayed, wrote in his diary, "Give me no worldly success which may not lead me nearer to the Savior." If I'm stuck in my job at work without any advancement, if it means I'm there closer to Christ than I would be with advancement, then God, keep me from advancement. Keep me from any success that leads me away from Christ. We're talking about consecration. Filling the hand of God. B.H. Carroll is a great Bible teacher and preacher and the founder of the Southwestern Seminary, a Southern Baptist school. It was a great school for years and years. And he wrote this after he got saved. "Take my mind and let it think for Thee. Take my tongue and let it speak for Thee. Take my eyes and let them see for Thee. Take my hands and let them work for Thee. Take my feet and let them go for Thee. Take my heart and let it love Thee." I love that statement. "For I belong to all, I belong altogether to Thee." What a statement. I love it. "Take my heart and let it love Thee." We're talking about consecration. We're talking about consecration, restoration. Maybe for some this morning, there never has been that filling the hand of God. You're saved, but you just have never come to that point of filling the hand of God, putting yourself at His disposal. Everything, lock, stock, and barrel, in His hand, completely there. It would be a good day to do that. And for others, maybe you were there and you jumped out and you slid back and there's been some slippage. But be honest this morning. And if you're taking a step back, just, if you have, face it. You have to sit around and moan and groan and it's all over, because it's not. You got life and breath this morning and a mental capacity to think. Consecrate yourself today. I think the name General William Booth, you know what that is, right? You know who he was, founder of the Salvation Army? In its origin, it was a great soul-winning group. They street preached. They went to the poor of London. It was far more than standing outside of a retail store ringing a bell. Far more than that. General William Booth was saved as a boy. And he gave his testimony one time and he said that after he was saved as a boy, he remembers kneeling at the kitchen table in his parents' home. And he made a vow to God. He vowed that God should have all that there was of William Booth. God, I want to feel your hand. Years later at his funeral, his daughter reflected on that story and she added this. The secret was not just that Dad gave all to God. It was also that he never took it back. He never took it back. Never took it back. Have you taken it back? It's a fair question. It's a good question for the beginning of a new year. Consecration, restoration. You heard the story. D.L. Moody, as a young preacher, heard a man say, the world has never seen what God could do with a man totally committed to Christ. And D.L. Moody responded to that by saying, God, if you'll help me, I want to be that man. What happened? Revival meetings? How many saved? What was the name of that place? Northampton, Massachusetts. Moody Bible Institute. When he died, by the way, he had just as much impact in England as he had over here. And when he died, before he died, he said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man totally committed to Him. Consecration, restoration. Consecrate yourselves today. Fill the hand of God, not just with nice words, but with action. Put yourself at His disposal. Fill His hand. Start today. Consecration, restoration. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening this morning. I trust this will be more than just a Sunday morning sermon. I trust this will be a message that God can reach out and speak to my heart and your heart with. I know my heart. My heart has been moved by this long before I came here to the pulpit to preach it this morning. In my own life, I really don't think 2016 was spiritually for me the year it should have been. I wonder if I took back something I'd given to Him. I don't know. I'm not going to sit around and moan about it and groan about it. I just want to start today. Consecrating myself. Doesn't mean there won't be fun, games, oh yeah. But it means I'm at His disposal. Let me ask today, Pastor, the Spirit of God came through my pew and stopped at some point along the way and kind of tweaked my heart a little bit. And I am pondering this very thought today about consecration, restoration. And I'll acknowledge that God spoke to me. To some degree, God spoke to me this morning. Would you slip your hand in the air wherever you may be sitting today? God bless you. I appreciate it. That's probably 95% of the crowd. I think God's in this. I know He is. God tweaks your heart a little bit, why not respond? Why not step out this morning and If you can't make it to the altar, make your seat, your pew, an altar. Think about it for a little bit this morning and on throughout the day. I wonder today, if there's anybody here in the crowd, say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I think I've had a taste of religion, but I'm not sure I've ever had a taste of salvation. I know some good things about God, but I'm not sure God's ever lived in my heart. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you slip your hand in the air this morning? What a great way to start this year by knowing that you're saved. Anybody like that today? You're not sure that you're saved, just be honest. This is a great day to find out how to be saved. If you're here today and you've come to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, then I would invite you to do that. Step out to honor the Lord that way. We're going to eat in just a few minutes. That's a given. There are some people who are going to go over in just a little bit and help get things ready. But I wanted to, one of the reasons we didn't have the bus ministry today was the holiday. But another reason was that I wanted everybody here in this morning service. I know we have some out of town. That can't be helped. I didn't want anybody over there fixing food while this message was being preached. So before we go over to the other building, we're going to take time for an invitation. What a good thing for us to begin this year, January 1, a year that's only 12 hours and 7 minutes old, considering this matter of consecration, feeling the hand of God. Let's stand together. Please, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation while we take a few minutes this morning.